Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get into four teams that are going to be a big part of the NFC playoff picture this year, and the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, the LA Rams, and the Seattle Seahawks. We do have news on Lane Johnson, and it's unfortunate news if you are a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, as the Eagles started the week by beating the Green Bay Packers and then beating the Detroit Lions, even with all the problems in between. Lane Johnson is expected to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks after suffering a Lisfranc sprain. That is via Ian Rapoport and Mike Garofalo. I thought I heard Schefter today say that it's going to be really tough for him to come back during the regular season. But the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to win the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to be in the postseason. And the Eagles are sitting there with an 8-2 record. They're scheduled the rest of the way. They play the Cowboys this upcoming weekend. Then they get the Bears. Then they have the Chargers. Then they have the Raiders. They got the Commanders. They got the Bills and the Commanders. So, like, even if they don't play great, you should be able to split between Dallas and Chicago. You should be able to split between the Chargers and the Raiders. You should be able to win one of the Commanders games. And if you just do that, you're going to be sitting there with 11 wins. Look at the schedule the rest of the way. You got 7 games left. Just go 3-4, and you end up having 11 wins. So I understand the number one seed is of utmost importance for Philadelphia, because when they're home in the playoffs, it's going to be so tough to beat them with that environment. And I've been to many Philadelphia Eagles playoff games, up against the Giants, up against the Packers, up against the Rams, up against the Commanders. It is so tough to beat the Philadelphia Eagles in that building. You know, the Falcons, the Vikings, it's nearly impossible to beat them in that building in the playoffs. But with that being said, I think the Eagles are a fascinating discussion. Now, like, they're going to be without Lane Johnson. Just get Lane Johnson back by the playoffs and you're fine. But you look at Philadelphia, 2 years ago, they started 10-1. And they were sloppy. People were complaining about the offense, bitching and complaining. Down the stretch, they win one game. They go to Tampa. They get annihilated in that playoff game. The following season, they didn't play great to start the year. People are saying, Sirianni, including me, should be fired. And then they found a way to be the number two seed in the NFC. Lions get picked off a division round weekend where the Commanders beat them. They have a home NFC championship game. They smother the Commanders. Then they get to the Super Bowl, and they just drag Patrick Mahomes' ass up and down the field for 4 quarters and just embarrassed him. They won the Super Bowl. Now, going into this year, we all knew Philadelphia was going to be a force. But when they blew that game to Denver, and then they answer back getting annihilated by the Giants, and I was at that game in the swamps of Jersey, and they're 4-2, and you didn't love their effort up against Dallas. They beat the Chiefs, but it was only by 3 points. They had to come on back to beat the Rams. They beat a decimated Tampa Bay team. You're looking at the Eagles and you're like, don't really like what I'm seeing. And it's not as if they really impressed you against the Vikings. They then got revenge up against the Giants. But this past week, what the Eagles did was damn impressive. Now, I understand there's going to be a large contingent of Eagles fans that are still not going to be satisfied. And why is that going to be the case? Because you beat Green Bay 10-7, so the offense is only able to put up a measly 10 points. And then you followed it up with a 16-9 win up against the Lions, where the offense only able to put up a measly 16 points. With that being said, though, Jalen Phillips looks like a stud. I loved him at Miami. Vic Fangio obviously knows him well when Vic Fangio was the DC there, and then the Dolphins were so soft that they couldn't handle the tough coaching of Vic Fangio because Mike McDaniel, let's be real, McDaniel annoys the crap out of me. This guy wins, and he doesn't win a lot. Let's be clear. He wins this year. He acts like a jackass. You beat the Bills, you're rolling up to the elbow room, with your watch on and your expensive car, and you're rolling down the window, and your team beat the Bills, God bless you, but you go nowhere this year. And then yesterday, they're playing in Madrid. This dope and Mike McDaniel, I'm sorry. I understand, right? Don't call people names. We got to respect everybody, blah, 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 blah. But this guy McDaniel at the end of the game, he goes for it on fourth down under 2 minutes to go. It's a tie game. You're in field goal range. Kick the field goal. And you're fortunate you're going up against a bad team. So you end up still winning the game in overtime because you're going up against the Commanders and they have the walking wounded. And you still able to get the win. But then he's getting all cutesy. I saw he sneaked into the post-game press conference, and it was Ollie Gordon, the running back, the former Oklahoma State running back, that he's sitting there. He's like, oh, what do you think about the coaching? How great is the coaching that puts you in a position to have the day that you had today? Like, enough of this guy. Act like a head coach. Yeah, you could tell a lot by a coach just the way that they act. Like, if you're Belichick and you're sitting there and you're treating everyone like they're a jerk and you can't stand them, you got 6 Super Bowl rings. Even Bill Belichick, before he won the Super Bowls, like when he was his first or second year, he was at least a little chatty with the media. You got guys like Aaron Glenn who get too sensitive, and then guys like McDaniel that have no shame. But Mike McDaniel, geez Louise, I've had enough of him. I really have. But to his credit, he got the victory that they're not 4-0. Do we have breaking news?
We do.
Does it have to do what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh.
It is college football coach related.
Has Lane Kiffin made a decision?
It is not Lane Kiffin. It is a coach that got...
I know what this is. James Franklin, head coach of Virginia Tech.
According to Pete Thamel, they are finalizing an agreement to be the next head coach of Virginia Tech Hokies.
There is a national talk show host that a lot of companies should be interested in hiring, if I may say so myself, that immediately predicted when James Franklin got fired that he would be the next head football coach at Virginia Tech. Now, Florida is going to try to wait for Lane Kiffin. I don't know what's going to happen there, but good for James Franklin. I know I've been one of the loudest critics of James Franklin. I said he turned Penn State the last few years into participation state university, but even with all that kidding aside, James Franklin did a really good job at Penn State. But he got the program to a spot where it's national championship or bust this year. And not only did he failed miserably. You lose to Oregon, the team wasn't ready. Then Allen throws a pick at the end when you get it into overtime. You follow it up with 2 terrible performances up against UCLA and then Northwestern. And it was time to end that era in Happy Valley. With that being said, I've said for years, James Franklin is a good coach, not a great coach. So now you go to a spot in ACC country in Virginia Tech where no one's walking on in and saying, oh, James Franklin needs to win a national championship. But you have the ACC, which is wide open right now. Clemson's not feared as they once were. Florida State was back for about a sip of coffee. I don't know if Franklin was probably interested in Florida State, but what is he supposed to wait for them to see if they get the money together to can Mike Norvell? So the ACC is wide open. James Franklin will probably win an ACC championship at Virginia Tech. And if you go win 8, 9, 10 games a season at Virginia Tech, you don't need to win a national championship. You'll be a legend right there. The standard at Virginia Tech is not to win a national championship for James Franklin. It's to be a really good coach. And if you're a really good coach, you will be viewed as a great coach because of the school that you're at. That's the thing. He didn't need to go run to a Big Ten school. He didn't need to go run to an SEC school. Because even though he could do some good things, he would not win a national championship at a Big Ten school or an SEC school. So you go to a smaller conference. It's still the ACC. It's still a Power Four conference. Virginia Tech obviously has a great history, but now they need a coach to get them back. And if you just win 8, 9, 10 games a season and you win an ACC here or there, or you win one, you will be viewed as a legend at Virginia Tech. It's a lot of times about fit. James Franklin, at the time that was needed at Penn State when he got hired, was a fit. where this program was then trying to go after being good for years to then trying to be elite, he was not a fit because he's not elite. He's not an elite coach, but he's a very good coach. And now he could be a very good coach that could then get talked about like a great coach at a program like Virginia Tech. So this has been speculated about now for a week. And over the weekend, it was the worst kept secret. But it is official now that James Franklin, according to Pete Thamel, is the next head football coach at Virginia Tech. I thought we were getting a little Lane Kiffin news there. I'm reading that like Lane Kiffin's family is going on a tour down south. They're going to Florida. They're going to LSU as he's still the head football coach of Ole Miss. But that's college football, obviously, in the year of 2025. And I'll tell you this. I truly don't know what Lane Kiffin's going to do right now. Like, Nico, I know we were talking about this yesterday. As you digested even more, do you think Lane Kiffin's back at Ole Miss next year?
You know, I was just telling Stu this during the break. I don't understand why he can't win at Ole Miss. Like, I understand that there's more resources at LSU in Florida, but, like, we're not talking about Boston College here. This is a top 10 team in the country that plays in the SEC.
History. That's why. That's the way that it alters people's opinion.
Yeah. No, I get that. But, like, he has a great opportunity right now to make Ole Miss this great program in the SEC. I don't see why he would want to leave that.
So you think he stays at Ole Miss?
I do, yes.
Stu, do you think he stays at Ole Miss?
I don't think he stays. I think he goes to LSU.
Ooh. See, I would have agreed with you a few days ago. And maybe it's just because he just played Florida. And maybe that's why there's more speculation with Florida. But it does feel as if Lane to LSU, I'm not going to say that it's chilled, but you look at it, I predicted that Lane would be the next head football coach at LSU. A few weeks ago when LSU made the move to get rid of Brian Kelly from the Tiger family and oust him from the Tiger family. I remember saying Lane Kiffin right away. So maybe this is just, hey, a few weeks have gone by and more people are starting to talk about Florida. But Lane Kiffin, he gave an answer over the weekend, and we have this. He was asked, will you be at Ole Miss next season? And this is how he answered it. Go ahead.
Lane, read the story from Ross Dellinger this week that he had that sit down with you, and there was a really striking quote there at the end where you talked about picturing yourself being at the elite Blue Bloods, but you know, you sort of changed and you didn't think it was necessarily a place like Ole Miss, but you've sort of changed your way of thinking and that maybe this is the last chapter. There's a lot of talk about you for coaching searches right now. Do you anticipate being the head coach at Ole Miss next year?
I love what we're doing here. Today was awesome, and I don't talk about that stuff. And really, to even talk about it right now would be so disrespectful to our players and how well they play today. We got a lot of things going here, doing really well, and I love it here.
I don't know. Sounds like a coach is leaving. Sounds like it's coach that is leaving. Here's the latest on Lane Kiffin, by the way. Now, I have not read this article. I'm reading it in real time right now, but it was just sent to me. On three, Pete Nakos. Ole Miss is looking for clarity this week about Lane Kiffin's future with the Rebels, Pete Nakos reports. Members of Kiffin's family visited Gainesville Sunday and Baton Rouge Monday. Now, Brett McMurphy quote tweeted this, and he also works for On3. And I had to verify that this was actually Brett Murphy because it didn't even sound like this was an actual tweet. If Lane Kiffin doesn't meet the deadline in terms of letting Ole Miss know that he's staying, Ole Miss would have to decide if it would allow him to coach in the playoffs, sources told On3 Sports. If there's no resolution, it will be an agonizing decision for the Kiffins and the Rebels. Could you imagine? Think about this for a second. Could you imagine Ole Miss makes the playoff? Lane Kiffin doesn't tell Ole Miss if he's staying or going. So if you don't tell him that you're staying, it means that you're going. But you don't want to tell him yet that you're going. But by giving him no answer, whatever this deadline is, you would be sitting there and basically without telling them that you're going. Right? Like if my bosses came to me and they said, hey, Zach, we want you to decide on your future. We want to let you know if you're staying here at the network or if you're going somewhere else, right? Like, let's just say that's the conversation. And if my boss has set a deadline of today's November 17th, let's just say it's November 18th. And, right, Chris Oliveiro and Jeff Sottolano and Ryan Hurley and David Meredith, they walk in with the suits, right? The suits walk into the studio, and I get out of the show at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and the suits are standing there on November 18th. They go, have you made your decision? You're going to stay or you're going to go? And I just go, haven't made up my mind yet. And walked past them, said, had a nice day, guys. If I can't make up my mind in the time frame that they give me, and I can't tell them that I'm staying, it means I'm going. So with that being said, whatever this deadline is, and I haven't read the specifics of the story yet, but if you're telling me that there's a deadline, could you imagine if Lane doesn't tell him that he's staying, and that means he's either going to LSU or Florida, and it's, all right, process by elimination, and which schools are still going to not hire a coach as the dominoes are falling, and you'll be able to tell. Could you imagine they didn't go to Lane, who saved Ole Miss football, right? They're going to be in the playoffs. And could you imagine them saying, you know, you're not going to be our coach next year, so you can't coach in the playoff game. Like, what are we doing here? Does anyone care about the kids right now? Does anyone care about what about the children? Does anyone care about the children right now? You know, I hate to sound like a Karen, but does anyone care about the children? Oh, yeah, yeah. How much of a mess would that be? And I triple-checked this tweet from Brett McMurphy. America's college football insider with On3 Sports, also known as Our Own or Report. It's a good job there, McMurphy. If Lane Kiffin doesn't meet the deadline, Ole Miss would have to decide if they would allow him to coach in the playoffs, sources told On3 Sports. If there's no resolution, it will be an agonizing decision for the Kiffins and the Rebels. Like, if this guy is your coach and you're in the playoffs, why wouldn't you let him continue to coach even if he's leaving your ass at the end of the year? Like, it would be stupid. Kind of be like, let's say if like Nico was under contract. Let's just say Nico was under contract, right? And Nico was leaving at the end of the year. Let's just say December 28th, right? Nico's leaving. Let's just say Nico's leaving at December 28th. I don't know why that would be. Could you imagine if there was like a playoffs for sports radio and Nico's the host or the producer of the show that was in the playoffs and, you know, you could go somewhere else because your contract's up at the end of the season. Let's say the regular season ended on December 28th. Just for fun. I don't know why I'm throwing that date out there. And then January 1st rolls around. There's a playoff game. They go, Nico, we love what you did all throughout the year, but you're not telling us if you're coming on back and sign an extension or maybe you're going to go somewhere else. So you can't produce or you can't host a show that you were part of. Like, what? You're good enough to get there, but because you may not stay, you can't continue the job that you started, at least for this season. That would be a mess. But that's college football in a nutshell. So good for James Franklin landing at Virginia Tech. Real quick, let me just wrap up my thought on the Eagles because I started it. Then we went on a Mike McDaniel tangent. And then we had the breaking news of James Franklin. Here's what I'll say about Philly. You beat the Packers, you beat the Lions to start and end the week. That's when it was bookend. I don't care how you got there. You beat two of the better teams in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles right now should be the favorite to go win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl last year. I understand Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown don't like each other, right? Saquon Barkley is still one of the best running backs in football. You know, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP. You got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith. This offense, no doubt about it, it should be better. Yeah, you beat the Packers 10-7. You beat the Lions 16-9. If your defense continues to play this way, it doesn't matter. It's not like the Eagles had... And, you look at last year, it's not as if the Eagles won the Super Bowl because of their offense. Like, sure, they put up a ton of points up against the Kansas City Chiefs, but they won that game because Patrick Mahomes was under duress for the entirety of the game. They won that game because Zach Bond had the interception before the half and they turned into points. They won that game because Cooper DeJean had the pick six. Eventually, your offense is going to have to play a little bit better, but as long as your defense is able to hold offenses like Detroit and Green Bay to those performances, you're not going to be that many points to win. And you have enough talent, even though if everyone hates their guts, let's just say, like if A.J. Brown can't stand Jalen Hurts, then even through all those problems, you should be able to survive them if the defense is that great. And the defense right now is looking superb. Now, I will say this, the officiating at the end of that game is horrible. Like, the Lions had no business winning the game, let me be clear. But the Eagles are about to give the ball back to Detroit. It's a 7-point game. The Lions are going to get the ball back, and they call him for pass interference when there was no pass interference. It was terrible. And if the Lions get the ball back and they score, you know the game is getting decided right there because the Lions aren't kicking an extra point there. Dan Campbell's going to say, we're going for two. We're going for the win. So the officiating was horrendous. Both things can still be true. The officiating could be horrible, and the Lions also didn't deserve to win the game. But it doesn't mean that you should just get the Eagles a first down in that spot. So the Eagles' offense is not good right now. The Eagles' defense is great. The Lions, you make Jared Goff throw the football more than 30 times, you're not going to win that many games. You're not. But if you would have told me yesterday that the Eagles would have only scored 16 points, I would have thought that the Lions would have won. If you would have told me on Monday last week that the Green Bay Packers only score 7 points, you know, I'd be sitting there. Oh, no, sorry. If the Eagles would only score 10 points, I'd be sitting there and saying that the Packers would win. But the fact that the Lions could only score 9 points against the Eagles defense and the Packers could only score 7 points against the Eagles defense shows you how great the defense is. Like, if the Eagles were only scoring 16 and 10, you wouldn't have thought that would be enough to beat Green Bay and Detroit, and they beat them both. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief coming up at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time, but we come on back. Let's get into the Rams beating the Seahawks yesterday. And I saw something from Sam Darnold that obviously is discouraging, but maybe it's also encouraging. We'll get to that on the other side. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So a lot of good games were on paper yesterday, entering the NFL Week 11, as you did have our 11th football Sunday of the season. You looked at some of those games on paper, Bills and Buccaneers, you thought would be a good game. It did deliver, as Josh Allen had 6 total touchdowns in the game, 3 on the ground, 3 through the air. Buffalo defeats Tampa Bay 44-32. You then looked at a team like the Bears and the Vikings. You thought it'd be close. You thought it'd be sloppy. It delivered. Bears win that one 19-17. You were then looking around and you wanted to see what was going to happen between the Rams and the Seahawks, and the Rams beat the Seahawks 21-19. Sam Darnold had not one, not two, not three, but 4 interceptions. Then the Broncos and the Chiefs, a lot of intrigue on that one, and the Broncos beat the Chiefs 22-19. And then the Eagles, low scoring affair, but they beat the Lions 16-9. Like, those are the 4 or 5 games. Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Broncos, Seahawks, Rams, Bears, Vikings, and Buccaneers, Bills, that you really circled, and you had a good slate of football yesterday. Like, really all around. There have been some dreadful football Sundays, and even the 9:30 or 9 o'clock game that was being played in Madrid, well, let's be real, why would you even want to watch that? That game could have been played in my backyard yesterday, and I would have shut the curtains. I had no interest in watching Dolphins and Commanders. At least it was a 3-point game in overtime. Panthers, Falcons, 3-point game in overtime. Bills, Buccaneers, 44-32, Buffalo wins. Even Texans and Titans were close, 16-13. Bears beat the Vikings by 2. Packers beat the Giants by 7. Steelers crushed the Bengals 34-12, but Rodgers got hurt. Jaguars crushed the Chargers, surprising, 35-6. Rams beat the Seahawks 21-19. 49ers unload on the Cardinals 41-22. Ravens just beat the Browns. You see Shador Sanders play 23-16. Broncos just beat the Chiefs by 3, 22-19. And then the Eagles, Lions, I know the officiating was a story at the end, but the Eagles were the better team. They beat the Lions 16-9. Like, you look at the football Sunday yesterday, we haven't had that many Sundays like that where the games are that close. Whether you think the football is good or not is a different story, but at least there were close games. With that being said, though, I look at the Seahawks and the Rams. That was a game that I really circled because I know what I think of the Rams. I said last year the Rams were my Super Bowl pick. I walked into this season, wasn't that concerned with all the Stafford injuries. When you have Puka Nacua, when you add in Devontae Adams, when you have Kyron Williams, you got a coach like McVay, and you got a defense with Fisk, with Verse, with Turner, with Young, I think the Rams are one of the best teams in football. But I went into that game looking at the Rams and having so much respect for the Rams, and then it's the Seahawks. And I've been blown away by the Seahawks this year. After getting rid of both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and you still have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and he's a stud. And the fact that he's been able to take that next step without those two guys, and he's been the best wide receiver in football. and you got two fine running backs like Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker are not going to be top five backs in the league, but they're a nice 1-2 punch. And you got a defense that's just playing lights out. They're kicking ass. They're taking name. That front four is as good of a front four as you'll find in the NFL. You got a coach of Mike McDonald. It's not like he was bad last year. They were 10-7. They missed out in the playoffs. And they walked into yesterday, and they had a 7-2 record. But what was everyone's question walking into yesterday? What was Sam Darnold going to be? Because Sam Darnold had one of the great redemption stories that you ever see with the Minnesota Vikings last year. But he had Jefferson, he had Addison, he had Hockenson, he had Jones, and he had a great coach in Kevin O'Connell. Great offensive coach in Kevin O'Connell. Now you go to Seattle, you take some pieces away, he's still balling out, and you were wondering if Sam Darnold was going to be the Sam Darnold in Minnesota up until the last 2 weeks of the season when he dribbled down his leg up against the Detroit Lions and then continued to dribble up against the LA Rams. Like, could you see Minnesota Sam that you were seeing so far in Seattle then not be the last 2 weeks of Sam Darnold's tenure in Minnesota pop back up in a big spot? And the big spot yesterday, Sam Darnold, he was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Four interceptions. And I know that that's a game where probably most people are going to say what? That's why the Seahawks have limitations. That's why Sam Darnold's never going to be viewed as a great quarterback. That's why Sam Darnold's not going to be a stud. And if you say that, I can't really tell you you're wrong. I can't sit here and say, hey, you know what, Nico, you're not a believer in Sam Darnold that he could win a Super Bowl. You know what, you're an idiot and a moron and a dope. You're probably right. But think about this. Even with all the interceptions, and even with all the turnovers, and as offensive of a game that Sam Darnold played, at the end, they were still lining up for a 61-yard field goal to win it. Imagine if that kick goes in. If that kick goes in, what are we saying? Oh, Mike McDonald's a great coach. Oh, even though Sam Darnold was horrible, when he needed to, he got the team in field goal range. Oh, the Seahawks are sitting there. They're now 8-2. No, like, you're talking about how bad Sam Darnold was, but we're probably crushing the Rams. You let a quarterback throw four interceptions and you can't, forget just not beat him. You didn't blow him out. That's what the conversations are today. That's what they would have been if that kick goes in. But since the kick didn't go in, it's talked about in the way where Sam Darnold was horrible. And I'm not making any excuses. Sam Darnold was horrible in the game. But if I'm a Seahawks fan, which I'm not, I wonder what the Seahawks fan is saying today. Because there's some fans that tell it how it is, and they're too negative. And then there's some fans that even when you have a bad day, they try to spin it into a positive. And I wonder, and I'll ask this to Nico and Stu, do you think the Seahawks fan today is sitting there and saying, hey, Sam Darnold showed us why the Vikings moved on? Or do you think they're sitting there and saying, guys, we had a quarterback play as bad of a game as he's ever played in the NFL. We had a quarterback throw four interceptions. We're going up against one of the best teams in the league. And our quarterback had his worst day. And we only lost the game by 2 points. And if our kicker makes what would have been a ridiculous 61-yard field goal, we win the game. Do you think the Seahawks fan is at all, even though their quarterback was dreadful yesterday, a little bit positive because the quarterback did everything wrong that he could have, and at the end of the game, they still had a chance to hit a 60-something yarder to go win it? I just wonder how it's getting spun. Now, Stu, your team does a lot of losing, so I think it's easy to go to you. How would you spin this today if you were a Seahawks fan? Would you say the quarterback stinks, he throws four interceptions, or would you say, hey, four interceptions, we still almost beat one of the best teams in the NFL?
I think it's the latter because, again, if he had been like mid or struggling for most of the year, okay, maybe this would be like the death nail. Like, okay, Sam Darnold's not the guy. Four interceptions, big game against a good team. But because of what he's done so far this season, I think it's just one game and you're going to say, okay, he had that bad game, but we didn't get blown out by 28, 35 points. Mm-hmm. We lost a close one.
Nico, how would you be talking about this?
Again, I'm similar to Stu in the fact that my football team's done a lot of losing, so I'd just be happy about the fact that they're 7-3. And to your point, yeah, I mean, listen, he didn't look good, but they only lost by two. So if he just cleans up the turnovers, they should be fine.
So the remaining schedule for Seattle, Tennessee, nothing that you can really impress there. You play Minnesota. I get it. It's a team last year. Nothing you can really impress there. You're at the Falcons. They suck, and their coach should be fired. Nothing you can impress there. Then you get a stretch where in back-to-back weeks, And it's a Sunday, I believe, into a Thursday. So in a 5-day stretch, you have the Colts, and then you got the Rams. That's a spot for Sam Darnold. Panthers and 49ers end the year. I like 49ers are good, but the Panthers, I know that they got a win yesterday. But those are the two spots. And even if you beat the Colts or the Rams, what's going to be the reaction? The Colts, maybe the record's a little bit inflated. Or the Rams, you lost them the first time, then you beat them the second time. So I don't know, outside of that stretch with the Colts or the Rams, if Sam Darnold could do much to shift the public perception about him. And I understand the fans that sit there and say after yesterday, 4 interceptions, you can't do that. You're a quarterback that, yes, you do put up good numbers now, but in the big spots, you just fade and you end up crumbling and you're not good enough to go win those games. That's fair. But I think part of me says, 4 interceptions and he still almost won the game? Just throw 2, right? Like, I'm not even saying throw none. Just throw 2 and you probably, just throw 3 and you probably win that football game yesterday. So in a weird way, I thought I would be crushing Sam Darnold today. I actually think the Seahawks have a heck of a team and they could win a game or two maybe in the postseason, even with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Big Friendly is in California. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Big Friendly, what's shaking?
Zachary Duda. Hold up. Wait a minute. Let Big Friendly put some reality in it. No matter what that kick, if it was straight, it was short. McDaniel burned 20 seconds he needed in that last drive. They were confused. Now, Zachary, I'm going to come to your table. I'm going to be polite, and I'm going to come with facts.
Okay.
The Rams did not have a great game yesterday.
You bringing any food to this table if you're going to come and eat at my
table? I can bring what you want. What you want? What you want? Some Italian? You want some Mexican? You want some Greek? What you want? I got you.
I don't discriminate against food. Whatever you want to bring, as long as it's not mushrooms or avocado in it, my stomach agrees with it.
Hey, they don't call me Big Friendly for nothing.
Continue, though.
Here's the thing. Sam Darnold had a bad game statistic-wise, but he still had a great managed game-wise because Daddy Cool touched on it this morning. Even though Sam Darnold threw 4 picks, he threw some great passes. What they're not talking about today is the Rams defensive backs that have been the Achilles heel so far actually coming to play when it counted. And Zachary, you're right. Seattle has been kicking ass and taking names. Mm-hmm. Their pen ran out of ink yesterday.
Now, let's be real. I have said in this segment, I think the Rams are better than the Seahawks. I'm just saying, 4 interceptions and you only beat them by 2 points and almost lost at the end. I'm just curious to see what happens when they play again at the end of the season. And then also, Big Friendly, probably when you guys meet up in the postseason. But you look at it. The only if I'm a Rams fan, right, the only team that I would be intimidated by playing are the Philadelphia Eagles. That's it.
See?
Like, no one in the NFC North, Green Bay, Detroit, nope. I'm not intimidated.
No.
Buccaneers, no. Seahawks, no. 49ers, they're the division teams, and you respect them. But that's the only team. And you guys blew that game to Philly. You should have beat Philly at their own house.
Zachary. Champions don't run from anybody. The Eagles are exactly who the Rams want when it counts. Now, listen.
Do you, though? You lost to them last year, too.
Yeah. Hey, listen. But listen, you can't keep running because someone beat you. And here's the thing, Zachary, and let's just be brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, if the Rams were to make it to the playoffs and they don't play the Eagles, what's everybody going to say?
Rams
but
Super
you
Bowl.
Didn't play the Eagles.
Ah, now who cares?
So I still want that. But Zachary, you're a Patriots fan.
Yes.
And you can let me go after this. Answer this question. You're a Patriots fan. And all those Super Bowl runs, did the Patriots not have some nail biters
where
they should have lost the game but still won?
Yeah.
So that's just the past.
We also lost them that we
should
have
won. Have a great day.
Yeah. You got it. By the way, Big Friendly. And you know I love you.
Did you see the dance?
I don't think anyone has called me Zachary in like 20 years.
Did you see the dance?
What dance?
Oh, okay. You got I because you know I lost the Daddy Cool, and I had to put on the little sweater.
Is Perloff Daddy Cool?
Yeah, Daddy Cool Perloff.
Oh, you had to. Oh, yeah, that's right. You had to do a dance.
Yes, in a little sweater. So they do have it. Mm-hmm. So if you could ask Kaplan or somebody, they do got it. They were showing it today. You're going to enjoy it.
Gotcha. You got it. Big Friendly, thanks so much. Have a great day. Remember during the pandemic when that girl was like crying about the, and I'm snacking or whatever? I forget what it was. There was like some girl crying over that. And they made like a remix of it. That's probably Big Friendly having a dance after his Rams lost to the Eagles. Big Friendly. Always love Big Friendly when he calls into the show. We do have breaking news. The NFL suspending Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase one game for unsportsmanlike conduct after he was caught on video spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. Barring a successful appeal, Chase is now set up to miss Sunday's game versus the Patriots. Now, NFL, I need the league office to do me a favor. I know you don't like the Patriots. Ja'Marr Chase, I paid Ja'Marr beat him even with or without Ja'Marr Chase. Let's expedite this appeal process and make sure that he's not on the field come Sunday. All right? That's the bottom line. If my team get advantage, I'll take my advantage. And I don't care what people say. But it's absolutely the right move. You cannot spit on another human and not get a punitive action. Now, when Jalen Carter did it, they said since he got ejected right at the start of the game, that served as his one-game suspension. Jalen Ramsey and the Ja'Marr Chase situation happened right at the end of the game. So Ja'Marr Chase should definitely be out for this game coming up on Sunday up against the Patriots and the Bengals. And if the Patriots win that, oh my God. It'd be 10-2. Nika, how many wins do the Giants have this year?
Two.
Stu, how many wins do your Raiders have this year?
Just two. They have a game tonight, though, so maybe it's three after tonight. But
okay.
They have two right now.
So that's four.
Yeah.
Justin Rock, who do you root for?
Unfortunately, I'm a Jets fan. So not any better than anybody else.
How many wins you guys have? Three?
I think we're up to two, which is way more than what I was expecting, the way the things were going the first 5 weeks of the season.
You three guys combined have six wins. My team has nine wins. Oh, my God.
Never fun being a Jets fan. Right,
let's get a Titans fan in here. Still not enough. All righty, we're coming up back. We will react more to this Ja'Marr Chase situation on the other side. Do a little college football next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. The Cowboys and Raiders close out week 11 tonight on Monday Night Football. Dallas is 3-5-1 on the year with a record of just 1-4 away from home. And the Raiders, meanwhile, are 2-7, losing seven of their last eight games. So Ja'Marr Chase has been suspended for a game. The NFL suspending Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase one game for unsportsmanlike conduct after he was caught on video spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. Barring a successful appeal, Chase is now set to miss Sunday's game versus the New England Patriots. You just can't do that. They're jawing at the end of the game. Ja'Marr Chase spits on him. Jalen Ramsey deservedly so punches him. That's another thing. Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if this has been talked about. He shouldn't receive any punishment. Like, he was ejected. Usually when that happens, you're going to get fined. He should not get fined. Like, how else do you want someone to react to a grown man spitting on you? Like, if Nico and I were having a conversation, and we were having a heated conversation, and Nico then hocked a loogie at me, Nico would be on the floor. I'd knock his ass out. That's just what would happen. Or I would try to knock his ass out. Nico does have, like, a very muscular chin. Steel chin, I think, right?
Only body part that shows any type of muscle, yeah. Though.
Yeah, I wonder why. Every time I see Nico, he's eating pasta or something. I walked into the producer's room for a second. I go, what do we got, garlic bread coming out of the board?
It smells good in here.
Oh, it smells delicious. I did the Simpson meme. I walked in, put my hat down, then walked and smelled, and then walked right out because I would have started to eat Nico's garlic bread and rigatoni alla vodka. Hey, you bring that stuff into work. It's $4.50 right now. You hungry?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I skipped breakfast this morning.
Is this dinner for you, or is this just a snack before then you get home?
No, I'll have dinner later once I get home at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, penne alla vodka at $4.50. And you're going to have more dinner after that. Ay, ay, ay. How are the microwaves looking around today? They usually look disgusting.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, they're not great. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I would not microwave food here. That's just me. I don't know what diseases you would get. Let's hear from Jalen Ramsey. This is what happened, which led to him getting ejected. This is Jalen Ramsey of the Steelers.
He spit on me, so it's up. I don't give a about football after that, respectfully. I'm always going to be all for trash talking, stuff like that. I actually enjoy that part of the game. I think people know that. But and that's what we was doing. I mean, after the first one, the first little thing, the play before, he tried to, like, crack block me or whatever. You know what I mean? I got up off that. And then we got up talking or whatever, and he snatched my mouthpiece off my face mask. And that's when I pushed his face mask, and then whatever. That was just a little scuffle. But the refs told us right there, like, hey, y'all chill, no more of this. Cool, so, you know, I'm knowing, like, you know, just talk shit, but let's keep it clean so we, you know, everybody's staying here, whatever. The next play, same shit. We was talking shit for real, which I'm cool with. And then, yeah, as soon as he spit, it was bad. I mean, I ain't gonna tolerate that part of it.
I don't blame Jalen Ramsey whatsoever. Let's hear Ja'Marr Chase, who now has been suspended for a game. He denied spitting on Jalen Ramsey.
He was saying that you spit on him. Did you spit on him?
I ain't never opened my mouth to that guy.
So what do you think prompted the reaction from him?
Well, he don't like some of the words I told him.
What are you saying?
I ain't spit on nobody.
I never opened my mouth to that guy. And then you talk about how you're talking to him. I know he meant it from spitting. But come on. There's so many. Jalen Ramsey's in the right. Ja'Marr Chase is looking like a clown. I'm sorry. There's cameras everywhere. We have 3,000 angles watching this game. You don't think we're going to see the spit fly out of your mouth onto Jalen Ramsey? Don't give me the crap of, oh, I didn't spit on him. And then, oh, you'll probably say in the appeal, oh, I was just talking and spit just so happened to come out of my mouth. Like, give me a break. Stupid. Stupid, stupid. And he deserves a game suspension. Real quickly, some quick college football hitters. Virginia Tech has hired James Franklin. We talked about it in the last segment. I think it's a really good fit for Virginia Tech. I think it's a really good fit for James Franklin. The future of Lane Kiffin right now is unclear. Family's been touring Florida. Family's been touring Baton Rouge. We'll see what he ends up doing there. If right now you put a gun to my head, I will say that Lane leaves Oxford, Mississippi, and he'll not be the head football coach at Ole Miss next year. And I think it's a shame if he does, but I can understand why you would go to a Florida. If it's between Florida and LSU, I would take LSU. But I could see why he would then maybe say, I'll go to Florida or LSU. But be careful, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And we saw Penn State. What are they going to do? Mike Elko just signed an extension. They had that incredible comeback then. They were down by 27 points at halftime, and they still end up finding a way to win the game. Elko is officially extended. So you had Matt Rhule get extended. Cignetti gets extended. So the candidates are just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking for Penn State. To me, it should be either Eli Drinkwitz or Brian Hartline. Could it be a Pat Fitzgerald? I guess that's possible. I see some people are speculating that it may be Matt Campbell. I don't really get Matt Campbell. I don't. I think the guy's a really damn good coach at Iowa State. But a few years ago, he ran from expectations when his team didn't win the Big 12 and they flopped in a season. And he said, oh, my expectations is never win a conference championship. You go to Penn State, and I like to see what you could do with some resources. Like, Campbell's a really good coach. But the next coach that goes into Penn State, the expectation is going to be to win a national championship. That's what it is. So you can't be approaching it the same way that you did in some of your shortcomings, even though you've had a lot of success at Iowa State. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout as we get ready to close out week 11 tonight of the NFL season with the Cowboys and the Raiders. That's a game that's going to keep everybody up, let me tell you. That should be spectacular. We will do a little studs and duds. We'll take a look back at the weekend that was in college football and the NFL. Coming on back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.